You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands. We're just your all-American married couple making a living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
And don't forget to follow the Broadway Podcast Network. You can see all the episodes of BPN by going to bpn.fm/husbands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this week, this is Brett, I got to run a half marathon for the Woodlands Half Marathon. Actually, it was today, the day that we're recording it. So my legs are a little bit like spaghetti at the moment, but I hadn't run a race in 10 years.
Wow. So let's go back in time.
Oh, okay.
When was the first time you started running long distance? What was your idea? Like, what was your inspiration and how did that come about? Because I know, but I would like to know what clicked inside you where you were like, you know what? I'm going to enter, because the first race you entered, I believe, was a marathon. So tell me about your decision making and what sparked that idea for you.
Well, I was doing The Little Mermaid on Broadway, and Katie Basile had been training for a half marathon, and she was in the ensemble. And I was super impressed by her ambition and training. And she did it through an organization called Team and Training that raises money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So she was a charity thing, and she, I can't remember where she went to run it, but then I found out that they actually have a Walt Disney World marathon. And I was like,
and as soon as you heard that, you were like, whoa, I was that's like, for me.
Well, at the time, Little Mermaid was slated to close.
Okay.
And with the show closing, I was like, I need to go to Disney World. I mean, that's always my impulse,
when
right?
When was that? Wait, when did Little Mermaid close?
I think it closed in September of 2009.
That's right. Okay, and September of 2009. Yes.
And the race for Walt Disney World is in January.
Okay.
So I signed on that summer to start training for the January Walt Disney World Marathon through Team and Training in New York City.
And that was like the first one you were like, I'm going to run a marathon.
I'm going to run a marathon at Walt Disney World.
And for those people who like really don't know what a marathon is, how long is a marathon?
26.2 miles.
Wow. And like, had you run at all before this?
No.
And you were like, yeah, that sounds like something I want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead.
I mean, ultimately, you know me, I'm an overachiever and can be impulsive on decisions. And so I was like, I need a project. The show's closing. I don't know what my future's going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do for work.
Okay.
And if I don't have something to sort of I'm very goal oriented. If I don't have something to sort of push myself towards, then I get a little bit antsy, right?
Right.
So I was like, this would be an interesting project. Maybe now is the time to run. I mean, talking to Katie backstage, you know, in the wings, she's like, I never run, you know. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And by raising the money for charity, the mm-hmm. whole thing was paid for. So I got to go to Disney World and, you know, it was paid for. So having a job, that made it super easy for me to get to like take a little vacation. And, you know, the other thing I learned is you get these really cute medals. And I was like, I love shiny things. So
We'll get to that. So so that first time you trained, what was the first step that you took? You found a team in training?
Yeah. Or? So there's team in training has, you know, different running groups that meet, right? So on Wednesdays would be like cross training nights, and we were doing Wednesday matinees. So I would go from the matinee to do the running.
Okay.
And we would meet in Central Park, and they had coaches, and the coaches would they were kind of volunteer coaches, but almost all of the coaches that worked there had a business that was related to running, like a physical fitness business.
Right.
Like,
so they were trying
to. So there was like a great way to like, oh, you're having like plantar fasciitis. Like,
come to my clinic.
Come to my PT clinic. Yeah, yeah. But they were great coaches.
Right.
And, excuse me, I'm drinking a LaCroix. This is not sponsored by LaCroix, but
one day we hope
LaCroix wants to sponsor this podcast. We would be happy to have their sponsorship. But when you drink LaCroix, sometimes the bubbles make you burp.
Yes, it's very true. It's very true.
So anyway, Wednesday nights, we would meet. And what I loved about that was, you know, they would be like, we would do hill training.
Okay.
Or we would do sprints.
Right.
To try to build up your speed and your pace. Mm-hmm. And they would look at your stride and give you adjustments to help make sure your form was good.
That's good.
And there would be other people there from all over the city that I would never have met, lawyers and doctors and, you know, advertising people and like people I would never have met.
Right.
So I loved that.
It was you also did training, I remember, if I remember correctly, in this time period, you would also train on like Saturday mornings.
So is that right? So Wednesday nights was the like training, cross training, and then Saturday mornings would be like the long distance running.
Got it. Okay.
And a lot of times in New York City has an organization called Road Runners.
Oh, right.
And Road Runners hosts races almost every weekend, usually on Saturday mornings, sometimes Sunday mornings. 5 milers, 5Ks, 10Ks, sometimes. And then they're also the people who produce or sponsor or create the New York City marathon weekend.
Okay.
So Road Runners would host these races, and so we would go as team and training people, and we would run these races together, and it was like a really cool community thing. And what I loved about that was I saw New York City like I'd never seen it. You know, you would see the seasons change because you're out in the city, right? You're running through Central Park.
Wow.
So going from fall into winter and then winter into spring, and you would see the leaves change, which if I was just on the subway and never saw
it. You would never see it, right? I know. And also, I remember you always telling me about how you're running around on the river, and so you're running across bridges. And
yeah, we ran like to the Jersey, to the Palisades Park. We did like a 16 miler together. You know, it was cool. And then it also felt like you were helping make a difference, because leukemia and lymphoma was like is really a terrible, terrible illnesses. And to know that we were raising money to help people who were suffering from that was like a really cool feeling as well.
And so, yeah, that's a great, great thing. What, before you run a marathon, do you ever actually run 26.2 miles mm-hmm. before? What is the most miles you run before you run the marathon?
I feel like the most miles I did was like 22 miles. I may be wrong. For the full marathon, it was like, you know, like the last, maybe I did 20 miles, and I think that the last 6 miles is like really your first time doing that is
really
on the race day.
Wow. Okay. So you've trained, you've run, but not 26.2 miles.
Well, you remember when I was training
26.2. Sorry.
Remember when we went to like Pittsburgh for Thanksgiving and I did like a 16 miler?
That's right.
I did 16 miles.
And it was freezing.
And it was freezing.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Through South Park.
Yes.
By myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you get to Disney and you're freaking out because you're in Disney World.
It's my happy place.
Yeah. And you're freaking out. How do you like, were you able to go on attractions or anything before you did the marathon? Or were you just like, I'm here to run this marathon. I can't have any fun until after the marathon. What did you do?
No, I think because we got in. Because it's all kind of paid for through the team and training. Mm-hmm. So you get in on like Friday, the race was like Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. So you just get there and you go.
But you get, there was a race, like only, there was race only admission to Hollywood Studios mm-hmm. to celebrate.
After?
After that
night. Oh, that's great.
So, but I do remember Andrew Szymanski
came
to watch me cross the finish line.
That's right. Because I couldn't be there. So this was in 2010.
January 2010.
Good. Yes. So I was working. Yep.
Uh-huh. And then Andrew came and met me. And I remember, I think I took an ice bath after running, and then we immediately went to the parks.
That's fun.
Crazy though.
Yeah.
Like my legs like needed recovery time.
And then you just like went
around. But I just want to give a shout out to this too. Like I did the race in a really like 2 hours and 45 minutes or something.
Really?
Do you remember? No, 3 hours and 45 minutes. Sorry.
Wow.
Do you remember that? It was like a sub 4 hour race.
Wow.
And I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because I'd never run that before. And I was really lucky. This guy, Kevin, ran the same pace as me. So we kind of helped each other through it and kind of ran through it. So, you know, what's cool about the Disney World Marathon too, a huge plug for Run Disney. I don't know what they're doing with the races at this point, but everything was like virtual this last year. But the fun thing with that marathon is it's Florida. So it's really flat because hills, there were a couple of hills today at the Woodlands that almost killed me. The hills are so hard.
Uh-huh.
Like when you, like today, it was like mile 9.
Oh no.
So you're just like, you're so close.
Right.
And you're to like, almost like being done. And you're like, no, I'm going uphill.
Oh but, God, I hate running in general, but then running uphill.
But Disney World, everything was flat.
Right.
And you run through the parks. So they would have characters out and aww, you would run through the castles and you'd run through fun. Like, and so, you know, I was just in heaven.
So you finish your first marathon, you do a very good time, you feel really good about it. So instantly are you like, I'm going to do my next one. Like, what was your
I was like, oh, wow. I mean, because you just like, I just did that and I made great time.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't know if I can do a full because the full is so much training and it hurts. Yeah. You know, your body is just like, but I did cry. I want to say that when you cross the finish line, because you do things like even today, like that last mile, I was like breathing loudly, like making sounds to just push myself to get to that through that last mile. And if you think about a full marathon and you haven't really run, I think it's like the last 6 miles. You get to those last like 2 or 3 miles and it's just like pushing yourself to your limits. So when I crossed that finish line, I remember I cried.
So then you were hooked. And then how many other marathons or half marathons did you do after that first marathon in Disney?
We did that. So I did that marathon and then I immediately registered for the San Diego Rock and Roll Half Marathon.
Oh, yes.
And
you did that with a friend that you met in Christy. Yeah, team and training.
A lawyer that I never went
with. Yeah,
met.
I remember
she
that.
She was at our wedding.
Yeah.
Christy, shout out to Christy. I love her and I miss her. She has like 3 kids now.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, she was great.
We you know, I had dinner with her family. She was from San Diego. The San Diego Rock and Roll Half was really cool because they had bands everywhere because it's rock and roll, right? Yeah. So there were bands on every, like almost every third mile.
Cool.
So that's the nice thing when you're running long distance is to have some sort of distraction like that. Cause you know,
well, like, what is it like, when you're running like that length of time, are you just kind of like, what are you saying to yourself? Are you saying things like right, left, go? Like sometimes when I dance things that are really hard and like, you know, I just say things like breathe, go, 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 breathe, go, right, left, right. You know, it's not like I actually have time to think. So do you have,
I was thinking really hard today while I was running about the comparison of running a long distance race and being an artist and being like an actor and the business, because it is the same stuff. Like you got to push yourself.
Yeah.
You'll start to compare yourself because people are passing you and they're going really fast or they have like there are a couple guys there with no shirts on with these like amazing bodies. And I'm like, oh God. You know, like you start to think about that. You're like, or you start to think, am I hungry? Am I going to have to use the bathroom? Like I'm literally thinking about like, I'm checking in with my body a lot.
Okay.
What's going on with my bladder? What's going on with my bowels? How's my legs feeling? And I'm thinking about like all of that, like, okay, cause I want to plan ahead if there's a porta potty, if I need it, or if there's water, cause they have Gatorade and water stations.
Right.
Do I want a Gatorade? Do I want water? Do I not want anything? You know, you're kind of thinking through like, what am I going to need so that I can be as efficient as possible?
Right. So what it sounds like, it's like all of your thoughts are based on being really present and checking in. It's not like you're kind of...
The number one thing that I have to remind myself when I'm running is don't focus on your feet, focus on your arms.
Ooh.
So I have to focus on the swing in my arms. Okay. And when I do that, I fly.
Right.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But when I start to think about my legs is when I feel the weight and the pain or the like muscle, like, right, you'll start to feel and notice, oh, my Achilles is really sore or tight, or my hamstrings are getting tight, whatever.
Right.
You'll start to notice those things. But when you think about your arms, it's like just one thing and it just left, right. It's like sobriety.
Yeah.
Right? It's like one day at a time.
One day at a time. Just keep going. Yeah. No matter what. So you do the rock and roll half marathon, and then you did.
I registered for the Disneyland half.
And you did it.
In California.
And
we took a whole family trip.
And that was the first time I was able to be there when you crossed the finish line, which was really exciting fun.
Was it exciting?
Yeah.
I don't remember how you felt about it.
Tell
me what it was like when you saw me cross the finish line.
I was super proud of you, you know? I mean, I've never liked running. And especially at that point, there was a period of time after this point where you ran these marathons and half marathons that I would start taking fitness classes where I did actually run. But up until this point, I mean, I never ran. I hated running. I hated it. So for me to watch you do that, I was like super impressed and super proud.
Wait, we skipped something. Do you remember, this is kind of how I operate. When I like something, I kind of go all the way.
Uh-huh.
And so for Christmas, you like
bought me. Is that why you married me? Because you liked me, so you went all the way.
Exactly. maybe it was my birthday. You got me a Garmin watch for running.
Yes, totally.
So that's like a GPS watch that can track your pacing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like I said, mermaided clothes, I needed a job. And there was a company called City Running Tours. And so I signed up and got my sightseeing license and became a city running tour guide. Which was like people would come to the city and for work and wouldn't have a lot of time to sightsee. So they would get a city running guide and we would get their workout in and I would be their guide. And so, I ran so much.
You did.
Because I was doing that. And I feel like I did another running thing. And then some girl reached out to me and asked me to help her run. She was trying to get in shape for her wedding.
Oh, right.
Her name was Alice.
You did a lot of various running gigs. You were a running gigster. And then I think one of the coolest things you did back in that time period was you ran this race called the Ragnar Relay.
Yes.
And you ran like 30 miles or something, like off and on, and it was over a 24-hour period. Tell us what the Ragnar Relay
entails. Oh my gosh.
I can't even
remember the distance now because it's far.
But
it was a relay race where you get a team of people together. Somebody just reached out
to me. A bunch of lunatics get in a van and people start running. That's what it is.
But we did an ultra team. So usually with the Ragnar Relay, you have like 12 people and they run this. And for this race, it was like started in like Poughkeepsie and ended in New York City.
And Poughkeepsie is like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours north, like out of Manhattan, like,
and like it's far. This was hilarious.
On a train.
It was an ultra marathon team. So instead of 12 people, there were 6 of us.
Crazier than the
crazies. So we would each take turns doing basically a half marathon.
Right. But they started at one point, they never stopped. So they were like in this van
all night. So you get out of the van, you run 13 miles. The van of people then meets you at the end of that mile, and then somebody else tags out and you get in, that another person starts running, and you just do this over and over again
until you get to...
It took us 24 hours.
Crazy.
And they started, get this, I booked a commercial that day.
Oh,
and it
right.
shot that, it was like a Bud Light commercial that shot that day. And then I got like on a train and like, or a bus or something, and met them after the commercial.
Oh, right. And that's when you started.
To finish
I remember
running.
That. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, needless to say,
it was so fun, though.
You've done a lot of fun running adventures. And so, then when was the last time before today was your last, what was your last race?
I don't remember my last specific race. It might have been, I mean, I ran some of those New York weekend races.
Right.
And then I decided I was going to train for the New York City Marathon.
Right.
I was like, okay, this. I'm ready to do another full marathon. And at that time, I was such a running crazy person that I was like signing up for races left and right. I did like a night race with my parents, my dad here, and my brothers called the Chupacabra Run.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a 5K, but it was on like in the woods.
Yes.
On a trail. And you had to wear a headlamp. You couldn't see anything. And people, there were tree stumps and roots and holes, and people were just falling over themselves left and right. And I remember I rolled my ankle.
I remember this, yeah.
And it was so stupid. And anyway, so that I never recovered from that ankle roll. And then I was starting to train for the New York City Marathon, and I was running at like a 16 miler on the East River. And I got to like mile, maybe I was doing like an 18 mile, and I got to mile like 14. And I started feeling like somebody was jabbing my heel with an ice pick. And I limped all the way home, and I was limping
this.
For like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor, and I had bone spurs in my heel that were like, it looked like a unicorn was growing out of my heel.
Oh, no. And that's not where you want unicorns.
No, and plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, which hurts.
Which really, and it was so bad.
Super inflamed. So then you decided to...
So I was like, there's no way I'm going to train for this.
Right, I remember.
And so
this.
I had already paid for the registration, which was like $300 to register for that race.
Oh, my God.
And I just, I renewed it and renewed it, I think for about 2 or 3 years, I renewed it.
I remember that.
And then I just finally was like, this is stupid. I'm just not renewing this. And so I never ran the New York City Marathon.
But when you say renew it, this is like a husband question. That means that you weren't paying $300 every time.
Right. I was just extending.
Okay. Because I hope I didn't miss that on our statements.
No.
Okay, great. good.
It was a one-time fee, and then you just could extend it.
Yeah. Okay. So what was it about like this time period that just made you decide to try running again, and how did you...
Well, the plantar fasciitis was feeling better.
Okay.
We moved to Texas, you know, now since August, and I was like, I was just not been feeling great about like being in shape.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I need a goal, a physical goal. I need something that like, and probably what I would have chosen was like a yoga challenge, you know, like a 30-day yoga challenge or something, which I would really love to do, but I don't love doing yoga at home. I like being in a class, in a studio, and I'm not going to do that right now because of the pandemic, but I met this coach, Talita, and shout out to Talita Lutterlo. I'll put a link here for she's amazing. And I just said, I need a new goal. And she was an Olympic runner, short distance. But she...
So she trained you.
So she trained me.
And you signed up for her training group. And it was a group, right?
It was a group thing. we met 3 days a week. She got me kind of on a better diet, and she got, so I've been more plant-based since I started working with her.
I mean, I think instantly you lost like 16 pounds, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. And so then I started training, and that's how I got in shape for this.
And it went really well. Like, most of it was pretty smooth sailing. You did have some moments of like feet hurting again. And
yeah. Like if I start to think about my legs, I started to go, Oh God.
It just gets heavy, right?
It feels like bricks.
Yeah.
On your feet. So there were a couple moments, like mile 7, again, walking up those hills, and I would get to the top. And usually I remember back at team and training, when you get to the top of the hill is like when you want to go faster and you want to go kind of slow going up and then like take off when you get to the top. But I would get to the top and be like, oh, my feet hurt.
Right.
But it's also, I think, partly just not being, you know, I'm at a new age.
Yeah.
To be in my 40s.
You're only 30 now.
Yeah, right.
You're 30 now.
To be in my 40s, the recovery is a lot. Even in training for the last 3 months, you know, I had some, you know, peroneal tendonitis that I had to work through. The plantar fasciitis would start to flare up a little bit. There's something going on in my piriformis. Oh, I have to roll, God. You know, rolling out constantly, right. Icing constantly. But I did it and I'm super proud of it. And I just think it's important that I need a physical goal. Otherwise, yeah. I'll just like literally sit on the computer, which I do for work. And never like get out there and do it. And it just felt really good to run.
Good.
It did make me, I did feel kind of lonely out there today, because I remembered today, and I hadn't thought about this, just how great it was to have a running team, because you would see people on the course or you would run with somebody who was at the same pace. Yeah. And today I literally, there were a couple moments where I was like, I didn't have anybody on the sidelines.
I'm sorry. And I couldn't be there, and I felt so terrible.
And I didn't have anybody running with me. So I remember I kind of got to the finish line. It felt a little anticlimactic, but I did it for me.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud of you, because it takes a lot of perseverance and discipline to do things like this.
Thank you.
So I'm just super proud of you.
I want to give a shout out to our assistant, Laura Cable.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, our friend Laura Cable has been helping us with this podcast for months now. And she's an amazing runner.
Is she?
Oh my gosh. Wow. She runs like every
day. I mean, her body is sick, so that doesn't...
Yeah. She runs like every day. She's a beast. So I want to give a shout out to my running friend, Laura Cable, back in New York, who you all should follow, because not only because she's like a little angel on this earth, but she's super talented and super funny.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Laura, for helping us with this. I want you to know I was thinking about you while I was on that course.
Aww. Well, so you finished the half marathon today. You got your medal. Are you signing up for another one anytime soon?
I don't know.
That sounds like a no to me.
I don't know that I need to. It felt great. I honestly think my next... I think I want to find a yoga challenge. I'm serious. I need to get some more.
I bet there's a studio that's open that you could go to that probably feels sort of safe.
Yeah, I bet there is.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there is.
I'd like to do like a 30 or 60 or 90 day like yoga challenge.
Ooh. Because
I feel like my body responds to yoga really well.
Stretching.
But I'll get really flexible.
Breathing, stretching. I like it when you're flexible. All right. Well, I just want to say I'm super proud of you, and I love you, and I think it's awesome. And, you know, if running is something that interests you, I mean, it really doesn't interest me, but if it's something that interests you or you want to like
shoot
set
me a
goal,
DM.
Shoot Brett a DM, or like, you know, find a way that you can start training, because it's a great way to get in shape and lose weight and feel really good about life.
Yeah. Shoot me a DM, because I can recommend some resources that I found helpful. You know, and just remember, like, I saw people walking, you know, running a half marathon, just completing it is a great goal. It doesn't have to be like beat your own personal record, or, you know, it can just be the act of doing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're going to move on to a segment we call
Spotlight on Love. Oh yeah.
Okay. So today is from an anonymous person.
The question is, I've been ghosted twice during the pandemic and it's traumatized me. I met a guy on an app and he called me daily. We even FaceTimed. When I was home with COVID, he would keep me company and talk to me about our house and family and where we would live. Then one day, just never answered the phone. I thought he was dead. Then after 3 days, he called and said, hey, it's not gonna work. That was it. 2 weeks later, another guy did the same thing. How do I keep hope for finding someone who's trustworthy? Should I stop using apps to date people? Well, that is crazy. And that is like super ghosty and floaty.
I've actually heard other people talking about this happening to them. You saw?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I feel like I totally think part of it is this, people are trying to get away with shit because of COVID. Like, because of what's happening in the pandemic, they feel like, well, I can do this and chat. And, you know, married men trying to escape their reality and, but then not actually following through or whatever. But the thing that I feel like just reading this kind of stumps me is, or would have been a red flag to me, is that you just met this person on an app and he's calling you daily.
Right.
Like, that to me is a red flag. Like, you don't, that's fast.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many weeks you guys were like having these phone calls, but you want to start off a little bit slower. So my thing is not.
But when you met me, you were like texting and wanting to call me all the time.
We didn't talk ever.
I know. Time. I'm just kidding.
And we weren't planning our future.
I know. Right? Yes. No, I'm totally joking.
We would see each other like maybe once a week.
I know. I'm joking. Okay.
I know. Go but on I'm just to saying, the point is, I don't think the apps are the problem. I think you need to set really clear boundaries of what you're willing to do early on. Like, don't get to the everyday place until like 3 months.
Yeah. So right? I guess like my version of Brett's answer is like, stay guarded. Put your guard up, right?
Like, it's, I would just say, like,
don't you be, should be so talking trustworthy so
once
quickly.
A week to yeah. start. Mm-hmm. You should be dating like once a week for the first 3 months and then explore. Because if they're doing it daily, there's going to be burnout. It's like doing anything. If you start, you know, you want to start slow and steady. And the burnout is not necessarily that he's burnt out on you. It's that there's just burnout because the excitement and the adrenaline of starting a new relationship. And then what happens is at some point when you start dating somebody, you know, at some point you're going to see the human. You're not going to see the fantasy, the thing right. that you see. You're going to start, you know, everybody farts. Everybody like...
That's not true.
Right? You know, once you're in bed with somebody and they fart and you can't forgive it and you can't... You're right.
What?
That to me is like the true sign of whether or not you can tolerate somebody. Right?
Well... I mean, so how do I keep hope for finding someone who's trustworthy? Well, I think you just have to keep hope, right? Because trustworthy people are out there and everyone has someone out there that's meant for them. And, you know, you just got to keep going and like just keep trusting. Maybe not don't trust people, but trust in the fact that there is someone out there for you, and it might not be the next person that you meet, but there is somebody that is going to be trustworthy. So just keep trusting that that's going to happen. And should I stop using apps to date people? I mean, my answer to that is a quick, I don't think you should stop using them, because currently I think it's still probably a really good way to meet people. I think that you just need to set really clear boundaries on your profile or like your description of what you're looking for, so that instantly people know like you don't want like dick pics sent to you or whatever.
Oh,
you
know, whatever, what I mean? Right. But I honestly think that you cannot put your happiness on the other end of a relationship. So knowing that, like, letting go of this need to have someone trustworthy to feel safe in the world is not necessarily going to help you. You need to know that you can be safe with yourself, and that you know, the thing that you want this person to give you, you need to figure out how to give yourself.
Ooh.
So that this person, when they give it to you, it's just the cherry on top. It's not the whole sundae.
And also maybe like, especially now that the world is slowly going to start opening up. I'm sure this whole year is just going to be about, you know, restarting everything. I mean, maybe it's like, you know, once a week you check in on the apps, right? And then you start, maybe you just set clear boundaries on how much time you spend on this dating app and what those expectations are, right? So it's not like...
But to me, the red flag is if the guy's like, hey, we talked tonight for 3 hours. Let's talk again tomorrow. Ding, 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 ding. Red flag. Red
run, flag. Run, red flag. Run, right? Run.
If it's like, we talked for 3 hours tonight and it was lovely, let's talk again next week. And you're not going to want to do that, but
that
I'm telling
sounds like
you,
something Brett would say early on.
That's how you preserve the mystery and the joy and the fun. You sprinkle it out. You don't just dump it all on the ground.
But dumping it feels really good though.
Yes.
No, I mean like your love. That's
no, I know what you meant.
Anyway. All right,
anyways,
I hope that was helpful.
And we want to thank you all for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and it would really help us out. I mean, really help us out if you would leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month.
BroadwayLifeApparel.com.
.com.
And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.